the Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Mike Gallagher's district encompasses part of State Senate District 1. Last night, Democrat Caleb Frostman won a special election in that district, defeating Andre Jacques by 806 votes. And in Assembly District 42, more in the middle of the state, Republican John Plummer won by 879 votes. Laurel White has been covering these special elections for WPR, and Patty Murray is our Green Bay reporter who has been covering the issues in the 1st Senate District. Laurel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And Patty is not on yet. We also want to take your calls about this election, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Laurel, Republicans and Democrats split last night's special election. It was described to me as a more moderate part of the state actually elected the Republican, and the more conservative part of the state actually elected the Democrat. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so this was a really, it was an interesting race last night in terms of how Republicans and Democrats are messaging it this morning. Because as you said, that Senate district that was won by a Democrat last night, Caleb Frostman, has been considered a pretty, you know, quote unquote, safe Republican district. It's been held by a Republican for, I think, over 40 years now. Mm-hmm. I think it was the 70s that a Republican came in and has been there since. So that's considered a pretty big deal in the special election that a Democrat flipped that seat. And then the assembly district that was up for election last night, the 42nd assembly district, includes parts of Dane County and, you know, the area, kind of the collar counties around Madison a little bit, which is considered a little, you know, there are some liberal areas there. So, but a Republican held on to that seat last night. John Plummer beat Ann Groves Lloyd.
So talk to me a little bit about the background here. These were open seats, but as you noted, both seats were held by Republicans prior. Who were the people who held these seats? Where did they go?
So both of the representatives who held these seats were tapped for jobs in the Walker administration in December. So they were, the seats were Senator Frank Lissay in the Senate and Representative Keith Ripp in the Assembly. And they both stepped down, as I said, in December to take jobs in the Walker administration. And the governor decided not to immediately call special elections for these two seats that became vacant because he said by the time he called the special election, it would be so close to when we're having the, you know, the partisan primaries and the general elections this fall.
Because the primaries are in August.
That's right.
And these people have to run again in August to get to get their primary, just to be the Democratic or Republican nominee. And then they have to run again in November.
In November. That's right. So that's another big part of the messaging this morning from the winners and the losers. I think both sides are using that argument. You know, I saw Ann Groves Lloyd said in her statement, or I think it might have actually been in an interview she did with the Journal Sentinel, that she considered yesterday sort of a dry run for the fall election. So this is such an interesting situation to be in, I'm sure, as candidates and certainly as reporters, because you have this election and then we're basically going to have a do-over in just a couple months. So I think winners and losers are both using that. The losers, of course, kind of delegitimizing in a way, or saying like, hey, you know, we can do better next time. This was a trial run, a dry run, as she said. And the winners saying, hey, this is great that we won, but we need to keep up the momentum, right? Like, we can't take this for granted. We're going to have to do this again in a few months.
I'm interested in Governor Walker did not want to hold these elections. It cost a lot of money to hold these elections. It cost a lot of money to go to trial, to go in front of a judge who said, oh, no, you have to hold these elections. So how much did it cost the state? Do we have any idea about that?
I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, honestly, but that was a big part of what the governor said in his argument. And I think he would say that any money that they spent on these special elections would be too much money because it was so close to when the regularly scheduled elections were going to happen. And of course, those are...
And they're not, the people who were elected last night are not going to be sitting in the legislature until they run for election again or re-election in November. But there are constituent service issues. Were those constituent service issues important enough to actually hold this election?
Well, that was absolutely the argument of the people that pushed for these special elections. So it was former Attorney General Eric Holder was kind of the figurehead of the group, along with some voters that sued Governor Walker to call for these special elections. And they said that if you don't fill these seats, if you don't have these special elections, these counties in Wisconsin don't have adequate representation for the months leading up to when the regularly scheduled elections are. And they said, hey, you know, we've had a lot of special sessions here in Wisconsin of the state legislature.
That's true.
And so who's to say another special session isn't going to be called and legislators are actually going to need to be on the floor casting votes and not just meeting with constituents and, doing constituent services in that regard.
So Assembly District 42... The Republicans in the Assembly have a very large majority, so another Republican winning isn't going to change anything much. But a Democrat winning in Senate District 1, will that change things? That's a little closer there.
It is a little bit closer. So with the Republican winning or retaining that seat, obviously the Assembly doesn't change. But with a Democrat flipping the seat in the Senate makeup goes from 18 Republicans and 14 Democrats to 18 Republicans and 15 Democrats. So Republicans obviously still have the majority.
Mm-hmm.
It's 18-14 and 18-15 because the seat was vacant,
okay,
right?
Got it.
Yep,
yeah,
there
got
you
it.
Go.
Okay.
So
Laurel saw the strange look on my face because the numbers didn't change how I expected them to. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. So it's kind of narrowing. It's narrowing the gap. And it's narrowing the number of Republicans that Republican leaders can, you know, lose when they're looking for votes, because there's that little bit of a margin of error that Republicans have been able to work with in terms of not having every Republican in the body vote with them on a certain proposal, right?
And are there some Republicans who are more moderate who might tend to vote with the Democrats occasionally?
You know, in some instances, it would be more likely that we have some Republicans who are more conservative and have wanted more things. So when we had the state budget, for example, seems like eons ago, but there was a group of Republican senators who wanted some more things in the budget. And so they held out on voting for it.
I remember that.
Yeah. So there are some cases where whether it's more conservative or maybe more moderate, that for whatever reason, Republicans don't vote with their party. And with Democrats picking up another seat in the state Senate, it puts more pressure on those Republican leaders to not have as many people doing that sort of thing.
Interesting. This is the first special election that was held in Wisconsin this year that a Republican won.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, I think, four special elections, and three of them have been won by Democrats, surprisingly so, and one by a Republican. So there was talk about a blue wave. Mm-hmm. Is the blue wave been kind of pushed back a little bit here? How are we interpreting this?
So the blue wave conversation has been really raging since...
Governor Walker has moved this conversation forward.
He has talked about it
after the last special election.
Mm-hmm. I think when it really started in earnest was in January when Patty Shockner won a special election, a Democrat, mm-hmm. won a state Senate seat in January. And then kind of fuel to the fire when the Democrat-backed candidate, Rebecca Dallet, won that state Supreme Court race in April. And Governor Walker has been telling Republicans this blue wave could be happening. We need to remind voters of our conservative accomplishments in Wisconsin to sort of head this off. And so I think both sides, you know, as I mentioned before, Republicans and Democrats, winners and losers, are kind of spinning it both ways. And so we have people saying, the Democrat winning in that Senate district is a sign of the blue wave.
Right.
And a Republican holding their seat in the Assembly district is a sign that there's no blue wave.
Right. Or at least that there's been sort of an impediment to the wave.
Right.
That's slowing
a red
the
wall.
Wave down.
Is
a
what
red
calling
wall.
It.
There you
yeah.
go. As we are talking about the special elections that were held yesterday, and we're also taking your calls. Steve from Sun. No, we're taking your calls. 800-642-1234. I love that number. That's like the easiest number in the world. 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are bringing in right now Patty Murray, who is our Green Bay reporter. Patty, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you have been covering Senate District 1. In 30 seconds before we have to go to break, were you expecting this? Were you expecting Caleb Foster to win, or was this a surprise to you?
I wasn't expecting either candidate. I didn't have a favorite. I didn't have a horse in this race. So I was just as interested as everybody to see what the outcome would be.
And what are the issues that people were telling you that drove them to the polls? Do you know?
I really don't know what drove people to the polls. Special election turnout can be tricky and, you know, low, especially at this time in summer when school's just getting out.
Right.
People are in vacation mode. They might not even be at home to vote.
We're going to dig into those numbers when we come back. We are talking about the special elections in Senate District 2 and Assembly District 42. They were split. One was run by one by a Democrat, the other by a Republican. This is The Morning Show, and it is the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. She's here in studio with us talking about the special elections that were held yesterday. We're also joined by Patty Murray, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Green Bay. And we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And if you do tweet, if you are not like Representative Gallagher and you have not deleted your Twitter account, you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We do have Steve from Sun Prairie on. Steve, welcome to the program.
Morning. Thank you for taking
now,
my call.
I should note that Sun Prairie is in Assembly District 42, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
So, you know, in this district, it's a little bit different. I do think a blue wave is coming, but our last representative was Keith Rick, who was a very soft-spoken guy, very nice, polite guy. And the Democrats ran basically a Madison liberal band. While she was from Lodi, she just said so many negative things about people that do not share her political philosophy. That doesn't play well in the 42nd district. So while Blue Wave probably is coming, if you keep running candidates like this, it's not going to happen.
Well, okay, so Laurel, she was the one who said this was just a warm-up. So she's clearly intending to run in November and, mm-hmm. and may have the same strategy, or you think maybe she'll pivot given the things that Steve has just said?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously not winning the election is a pretty strong signal from voters that they want her to do something a little bit different, right?
One would think, yes.
Yeah. So perhaps she will tweak her strategy a little bit. But I think, you know, based on what I've heard from her, what she's told reporters last night and this morning is that, you know, she considers last night's race a dry run. And she also mentioned that she called the district gerrymandered. You know, she said this is a district that was built for a Republican to win. I made headway in the district. I did better than others have in the past, even though I still didn't win. And so we're going to kind of keep fighting this. You know, she kind of characterized it as like an uphill battle.
And
right?
That could change before November. It's possible the Supreme Court is dealing with Wisconsin's districts and the gerrymandering issue. So that actually could change. We are talking about the special elections yesterday. 1-800-642-1234. Thank you, Steve from Sun Prairie. I really appreciate that call. Patty Murray up in Green Bay, District 1 is something that you cover, Senate District 1. It was won by a Democrat yesterday. Tell us about the nature of this district. Is it more rural or urban?
Actually, it's kind of a mix of both. It covers all of Door County, Kewaunee County. You know, obviously, everybody knows Door County as the vacation hotspot.
Right.
And Kewaunee County is very rural. It also includes parts of more urban counties like Brown and Outagamie. But then, again, you've got rural counties like parts of rural counties like Calumet and Manitowoc. So it's kind of a mixed bag. And you were asking earlier about some of the issues in the race. And the candidates were making an issue of jobs. You know, the winner, Caleb Frostman, he was the leader of the Door County Economic Development Corporation until the spring. And he was, you know, running on his economic credentials. And he was, you know, saying that the state needs a lot of family-supporting jobs. He was concerned about the state's investment in Foxconn in southeastern Wisconsin. And worried that, you know, there'd be a lot of jobs, but they might not be family-supporting wages.
You know, what's really interesting to me about Door County is that people go to visit and they think it's kind of this booming economy because they're there in July. But truly, in October, the economy is less booming. In the winter, it's even less so. And people are struggling. There are people who live there year round who struggle to make ends meet. What did Caleb Frostman say about that? And did his opponent, Andre Jacques, talk about that at all?
They didn't really talk about, you know, kind of microeconomies. I don't want to call Door County a microeconomy, but they were kind of focused more on the entire district. But I will say that there were a total of over 7,500 votes cast in Door County last night.
Wow.
I mean, that's...
Out of 10,000. Out of 10,000 total.
Pardon?
I think there were 10,000 total that were cast, and 7,500 of them were cast in Door County. So keep going.
No, according to our Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, there were 28,000.
Okay, yes, I'm reading the wrong one. You are correct. You are correct.
Yeah. But Caleb Frostman, though, did win Door County by 1,900 votes.
Oh, wow.
Over Andre Jacques. So obviously, I mean, he did well there because I would think he would have greater name recognition. You know, another issue in this district is dairy and water quality because so many people have contaminated wells due to the karst geology up here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another thing where that might have driven individuals' votes in one direction or another.
Laurel, we've got about a minute and a half left. What are your conclusions from this special election? Is there anything that we can take forward, or is this really just a dry run?
You know, I think that I think it's going to be fascinating to see how this continues to play out. I think the fact that a Democrat won in that Senate district and a Republican retained the seat in the Assembly district is going to make the messaging really muddled from politicians moving forward. As you mentioned, that blue wave versus the red wall. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tweeted last night, it might have been this morning, I just saw it this morning, but he said, you know, so much for that blue wave, basically, and then he did hashtag blue trickle. So, you know, I think we're going to continue to see people, you know, spinning the blue wave one way or another, and the results last night really feed into both sides of the narrative.
We have been talking just now to WPR's State Capitol reporter, Laurel White. Laurel, thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We've also been talking to Patty Murray up in Green Bay. She is WPR's Green Bay reporter. Patty, thank you for talking with us.
You're welcome.
A few... mayors have a history as long as Madison's Paul Soglin. He's hoping his name recognition helps him win the crowded Democratic primary for governor. Soglin has run Madison on and off for the past four decades, but it's how he got his start in politics that makes him stand out. WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson has this profile.
Paul Soglin's political career was launched at the end of a policeman's billy club. As detailed in the documentary, The War at Home, Soglin was among hundreds of student activists who were protesting the University of Wisconsin-Madison's partnership with Dow Chemicals in 1967. Dow made the napalm used in American bombs during the Vietnam War. Protesters staged a sit-in at a Dow recruiting event. Police were called. And when officers started using their batons to hit protesters, Soglin says many students fled.
And as people were exiting, I suddenly found myself, like, in the front row.
Soglin remembers being struck, viscerally.
Like an electric shock. Suddenly my legs and my arms flew out. I lost control of them from the blows to the spine.
The violence spilled outside, and police deployed tear gas. Many students were angry and motivated. But the people who organized the Dow Day sit-in had fled.
There was a leadership vacuum.
Ira Shore was a student activist with Soglin. The two of them were around the next day for the next protest, this one at the state capitol.
Things were in a very ad hoc, you know, off-the-cuff thing, and since both of us were around and involved, they decided to choose us.
Soglin seized the moment. His reputation spread, and student voters helped him win a seat on the Madison Common Council in 1968. Soglin and other council members were at odds with the city's conservative mayor, so Soglin challenged him.
The city has been standing still, and it is time that we make one change, and that's at the top, in the mayor's office.
Soglin held events all over the city to persuade voters and says people showed up out of curiosity.
You know, I didn't breathe fire or anything, but, you know, they might have seen me being interviewed on TV and read about me in the papers, and I was an oddity.
Soglin rose to prominence as a radical, but his pollster gave him different advice in 1973.
Go out there and be nice. Don't be inflammatory. Talk about public transportation.
Soglin listened and won his first of three mayoral elections that decade. He left the mayor's office in 1979, then ran for mayor again a decade later. Roberta Gassman was a top aide to Soglin in 1989. She says he helped transform the city.
The relationships he established, the programs he launched and supported, set a path for Madison, Wisconsin really becoming an award-winning, nationally recognized best place to live community.
Soglin left the mayor's office again in 1996 to run unsuccessfully for Congress. Then in 2003, Soglin made another bid for mayor, but lost to Dave Cheslevich. In 2011, Soglin ran again against Cheslevich, but the circumstances were different. Thousands flooded the state capitol to protest Governor Scott Walker's bill to restrict public sector union rights. Both candidates for mayor opposed Walker, but Cheslevich says Soglin's tough talk won the race.
People were looking for a fighter. They were angry, and they were looking for a fighter. And I can only do fighters so well, and Paul does it naturally.
Soglin is now making his first run for statewide office. Governor Walker has said he'd love to face him, calling Soglin an unabashed 1960s liberal. Soglin contends the more people learn about him and his story, the more they like him. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
We will be having more of WPR's coverage of the gubernatorial races as we go on through this week. You can hear Sean Johnson and Laurel White. This is Carrie Kaufman talking to you on the Ideas Network on the morning show. Next up, we're going to talk to Randi Zuckerberg about her book saying, we can have it all. We just kind of have to do things one at a time. It's the morning show.